Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are back. It is May 11th, 2024, and it is your girl, Crest the Star. I am joined not by Riccuccino, not by Iridian, but by the ever-lovely Rob Wilkins. Bam, 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 bam. We're covering Collision tonight. We're not doing Rampage. We both have regular jobs. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. I got in the last minute. I was told it's like relief. I was like, hey, can you do this? I'm like, absolutely. So let's do it. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited. I'm glad you're here, buddy. And I'm glad that you guys, my colliders, are all here. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up if you're happy to be here. Sending your super chats, your humper chats, is the best way to get engaged in the conversation online with us while we go over Collision. You go over to humperchats.com, type in your dollar amount, your comment, gets any of that questions or comments read on air. And it gets it helps us keep a little bit more of the dollar amount, and it keeps Sean happy, keeps us happy. Humperchats.com. But if you're like, Cresta, I want to support Fightful, then totality, Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business. We've got cool things on Becky Lynch contract update, Q&A with Sean Ross Sapp. We just had some Cody Rhodes update. You can get all of those $5 in the business, Fightful Select. Rob, what did you think of this show this evening?
You know, what I enjoyed is I don't usually get to watch Collision live, so to be able to have a reason to do it tonight was good. I got to see some of my favorite wrestlers when it was Will Ospreay, getting to see Will Ospreay versus Lee Moriarty. I was like, this is the first time these two have ever linked up in a match. That was worth it right there, like in my opinion. If I knew if they would give them enough time, they could have a banger. But I knew with you having Shane Taylor right there and you also having Roderick Strong and his cronies, as I like to call them, being right there, I knew we weren't going to get the type of match that I wanted. But I will take it because it's better than nothing, right? So, and then you get Kyle O'Reilly returning home to wrestle against Adam Copeland. It was just a good show, I thought. Good matches, and that Tommy Billington, I saw a lot of his uncle. I saw a lot of his uncle. So, you know, so that was really cool.
You know, I thought the overall card was good. My only complaint is that this felt like a lot of it was a squish squash kind of a, let's get on to the next one. You know what I mean? The matches were great. They were quick, but it was very much Turn and Burn, and let's not keep the guys waiting any longer. Our first match is Top Flight versus Blackpool Combat Club. Representing Top Flight tonight, we had Darius Martin and Dante Martin with Action Andretti, who was not competing. We also had, for the Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli. This match got a lot more time than what I thought it would, and I have to give so much credit and respect to Top Flight. These young men, so talented, they put on every time they're given an opportunity. This match I thought was going to go kind of like a squish squash, and it didn't. We get started off with a nice assisted suplex from, This is about mid-match. I think right before they do their first commercial break, you get an assisted suplex on Claudio from Top Flight into the corner. Nigel McGuinness, this whole match, was saying, was Danielson even hurt? It's funny that you were injured at all. Will Ospreay injured. Oh, my God. Yes. And now you've got time to come back for Anarchy and Arena. I think Nigel McGuinness was inspired by Kendrick Lamar this week to be back on his hate. And he's like, I could be hating harder. So this match, he chose to hate so hard on Danielson. There was a lot of stiff forearms from Dante Martin onto Claudio Castagnoli, which the both of these men, I will say Darius and Claudio, this was their match. These gentlemen were out here selling, and I was buying whatever they were selling. We get to the match, and I didn't get to see the end of the match because the last thing I saw was Darius goes diving outside onto Danielson to keep him out, but it looked like he hit his head, but it hit his forearm. But he's a really good seller, so I thought he was dazed and confused. I turned my head this way, I turned my head that way, and the Blackpool Combat Club won. Not to mention that Claudio Castagnoli hit Dante with the swing, and that move is so demoralizing. Before we get into the post-match, what did you think of the match, Rob? Do you have any notes?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is anytime my boys from the 612 go at it, they're in the ring, I'm always rooting for them. I've been watching those guys since some of their first matches. I've been a big fan of them since their first wrestling days, and I always root for them, and I know that they are going to be, I am convinced they will be tag team champions sometime this year. I really am. I can't wait to see it. Going into this match, I knew that they weren't going to win, because obviously going into Anarchy in the Arena, plus you're going against Brian Danielson and Claudio, they're not going to let Danielson lose right now, or Claudio for that matter, in a tag match when you're trying to promote a big match coming up. So I knew what we were getting into, but I am glad that they gave him a lot of action. They made Top Flight look really good, and they made you believe that they could win. And that's what matters the most in these matches, because we know what we're going to get, but the person at home, that's the thing that matters. You have to let them believe, and that's exactly what happened. They look really good, and that's what you want in a match. And they made Top Flight look really good, and that made me happy.
Like, I will be so serious. Top Flight, I agree with you, with them becoming tag champions by the end of this year. These are some of the guys that started off, I guess you would say, as their undercard, your enhancement talent. To see them now go forward to going against people like BCC regularly, people like FTR regularly, and not skipping a beat, not looking out of place, chain wrestling, these guys were so good. Like, it really did make you believe. Like you said, we know. Yeah, you weren't being O'Brien Danielson. You literally got to be an Ospreay or an Okada to be Danielson at this point. But it's good that they're putting these guys in the conversation, that they're putting these guys into the mix. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Post-match, Danielson, again, giving the children their flowers, saying, we did this, and this was done because Top Flight was across from us. So these men are so good. We want to give them their accolades. And I will say the theme of the night and the theme for the past couple of weeks that this is AEW, where the best come to wrestle. So it's like, y'all are really trying to bring that point home. So I believe it. If this is where the best come to wrestle, this is where the best come to wrestle, baby. He said, I'm doing Anarchy in the Arena pretty much because I love this shit. He said, I came back beat up and on. It's kind of like the promo that Kenny gave when he's like, listen, I may have a colonoscopy bag, or diverticulitis bag, but I will come back to beat you up because I hate you that much. I will wrestle with a bag in my purse, okay? That's how much I hate you, dude. He said, plus the Bucks won't even show up to work. You guys beat up Tony Khan for what? And I like how they're turning Tony Khan into this sympathetic character, considering people were really cooking Tony Khan online. And now in kayfabe world, Tony Khan is like, dang, you ain't do nothing to deserve this. And you do the NFL draft with your Roderick neck health struggle thing going on. And he ended off with saying, I would come back and I would do it every time because I'm willing to protect AEW. And I thought that promo was so good. Rob, what did you think of Bryan's promo at the end?
Oh, it was good. It made me buy in, of course, because on Dynamite, they didn't really have a chance to do anything because it was more shocking that, to me, it was more shocking that Kingston and Danielson were going to be on a team together, you know, because it wasn't too long ago that Kingston was ready to burn Danielson alive, you know, so it was just one of those things that they didn't even talk about it much, or they didn't talk at all, and it was just that's how the show ended. And then we see, like, behind the scenes, we see that Danielson, for some reason, has Eddie Kingston give him chops in the ring, which tells you right there that he's nuts. I mean, if you're going to have Eddie Kingston chop you voluntarily, good God. But okay. So the promo was great. And like you said, when they started it off, Danielson giving the top flight kudos, I was like, Mama Clump, just all happy as I could be. So I'm just a mark for those guys. I'm happy for them. And I just liked how it's going. And I'm very intrigued because when they said Anarchy in the Arena, I kind of was just like, okay. And then I thought about it more and more, and they were right. Last year they did beat the hell out of each other, and we are going to get it again. So let's go.
And I do love a good Anarchy in the Arena. And guys, if you've watched this channel, you know that I am weak in the stomach. I do not like blood, but I would watch an Anarchy in the Arena because this is a very interesting Anarchy in the Arena. And sometimes, just with the storyline going forward with the Elite versus Team AEW, it really does make me a little sad that we couldn't get this with CM Punk, because that is so, man, that would have been so good. But you know what else is good? Let's get us started off with our first super chat from Twin Van Blade. Van Twin Blade, I'm dyslexic. Thank you for saying Dalton Castle and Coco Lane idea as the Birdcage. And followed up by another $2 managed by Pollo Del Mar, who I love, by the way, one of my favorite wrestling managers. My only 2 cents on that, you got to add Brian Cage. If you're going to add, that has to be a trios, because now you got the Bird with the Cage, and now you got Brian Cage managed by Pollo Del Mar.
that would be amazing, like, in just different ways, because just to see the reaction that we would get from Brian Cage, I think, just as putting those guys together would just be something. Like, it would be, because it's just something I would never expect.
Dalton Castle with Brian Cage is literally, that is peak odd couple. That's like, who is someone very serious with Danhausen? Like, the most serious person you could think of with Danhausen.
I'd be like Claudio with Danhausen, in my opinion. Or
yes.
Something like that.
Yes, Claudio with Danhausen. And the whole time, Dan and Claudio's like, be serious. And Claudio's like, and Dan's like, my dang.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you hit it right on the head there. And that's, I would actually die for that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Danhausen, I miss the guy. I really do. There's so many different things that he can do. And I've said this a lot. People like comedy. They don't like it overbearing, but like, just like here and there, you could do plenty of things with him and people would just love it. I mean, just little things here and there. And
it's also not bad that he's a great wrestler. It's the fact that if you're a good wrestler and you do comedy, I think of very specifically Stone Cold Steve Austin doing his general manager shtick. And you knew at the end, no matter what, somebody was getting stunned, whether it was Byron Saxton, it could have been your mom, it could have been Linda McMahon.
It was my mom one night, yeah.
It really was my mom one night.
Yeah, Target Center. Yeah, it happened. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like it's so stupid because he was out there with him and Kurt Angle with the little hat, like what? Yeah. But they were good wrestlers. So there is an air to true. Like if the wrestling is good and the comedy is it can be borderline funny and I'd still laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our next match, which Rob was just talking about, is Will Ospreay versus Lee Moriarty as Shane Taylor in his corner. And Roderick Strong is on commentary with Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. Let me tell you something. This is the perfect heel staple because I want to punch all three of these men in their face. They have punchable faces. All three of them, they knew what they were doing when they put all three. And they were so obnoxious on commentary. Like, it was exactly what it needed to be. But almost to the point where, like, I couldn't even pay attention to the match. I was like, yo, shut up, Rod. Yo, he did what he did. They achieved their goal. There's a big crossbody to Lee Moriarty on the outside from Ospreay from a dive. Roddy is OD annoying on commentary.
Yeah. It was so good.
It's good annoyance. It's like one, it's good heel work. As a viewer, as a fan, oh, you're under my skin, Roderick Strong. I hate you. As a fan of the sport, this is some good heel work because I hate you. This is some good heel work. You are under my skin. I hate you so much. Good deal. You ate that. No crumbs. 10 out of 10. No notes. The Oz Cutter gets countered into a Border City stretch from Lee Moriarty, which I got to say, Lee Moriarty deserves more flowers than what he's getting. And they were putting over on commentary how much Lee has improved in the ring and how he can step with 10 out of 10 with everyone. I loved it. Sad that he was going to lose. Unfortunately, a foregone conclusion. I mean, bro, you're not beating Will Ospreay, the Billy Goat. He hits him with the Tiger Driver 91, which they were putting over on commentary. No one does a Tiger Driver 91 anymore. And Will Ospreay looked directly at Roderick Strong and said, I do a Tiger Driver 91. Picks up the win. I mean, post-match, we all knew this was coming. Undisputed Kingdom era, whatever their name is now. Shane Taylor Promotions, jump Will Ospreay. And Will Ospreay's got no friends, bro. What'd you think of the match?
I enjoyed the match, but it's like a given, though, because Will Ospreay and Lee going at it, you know, that was the thing. You get two really great talent. My thing was, is if they don't let the shenanigans on the outside cause anything, it was going to be good. And what I think they did was perfect. They let some of it happen, but they didn't let it be overbearing. So that was good. And then they let everything happen at the end. That was the perfect way for it to happen. You let Ospreay get the win clean, and then you basically have him not pay attention long enough, and that jackass Shane Taylor, who I would not want to mess with on a good day, bad day, any day of the week, takes him out. And yeah, that's, even I'm like, you know, you don't turn your back on that man. You just don't do it. And we get to see that next week, though, on Collision, I believe they said. So next week we get Will Ospreay and Shane Taylor. So hopefully Mr. Ospreay will make it to Vegas because it's not looking great right now.
I mean, that's going to be a good match. Let's put it like this. When they said Will Ospreay versus Shane Taylor's, my flabbers were gasted. My slobbers were knockered, okay? I'm ready. I'm set. Like the sign behind Tony Schiavone said, Tony puts butts in seats. I'm set because that match is going to be that. Will Ospreay is lean meat. That match is going to be meat. M-E-A-T. We got another super chat from Twin Van Blade. Thank you so much for the love. 10 Buckaroonie said, Cressa, have you seen the movie The Birdcage? I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. Go watch it. Nathan Lane and Robin Williams play a gay couple, and Robin hijacked Oprah's show because she outed Nathan as gay during the press tour. Listen, respectfully, I sometimes do drag, and that is required learning just as much as Tu Wong Fu is. Thank you for everything, Julie Newmar. I have seen The Birdcage. I think it's a perfect concept. I only say add Brian Cage because Brian Cage would really be that buff. Like, if you've ever seen Tu Wong Fu, he'd really be Patrick Swayze in a tiny dress, like, okay, I'm here for the boys and the peacocking, I guess, and we're winning. Everyone needs to play. Someone needs to play the straight man. How Renee always plays the straight man with unhinged interviews, and she's always there like, what the hell is happening? You need someone to play the straight man, and that's Brian Cage there. There
you go. Man, I would, that would be unbelievable, just because it would be like the what the hell is going on over here? Like, what the hell did I sign up for type experience, I guess you would say, because you know he'd be just like, what in the hell, where did my life go wrong, what did I do? It's kind of like, do you watch RJ City, like in the, like every Sunday, like, or
I have dabbled in a few of Hey EW.
Okay.
And yeah, that, those are my kind of unhinged interviews because you just got to give it right back to him. RJ said, if you want to interview me, baby, it'll be the most unhinged interview you've ever had.
Well, I don't know, because I was going to bring up the David Arquette one, and that's similar. Like, I think Brian Cage would look at it. He'd be like, what in the hell is going on here? Because I don't know what the hell happened on that day with Brian, with David Arquette and RJ City, but holy hell, if you're watching this and you've never seen this or have no idea what I'm talking about, please do me a favor. After this show, go on and type in RJ City, David Arquette, Hey EW. You're gonna like either be so happy that I told you to do this or so pissed off that I told you to do this. So there's no in between. It's amazing. So
it is a, we're in an improv class, but only one of us knows that.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, it's, and nobody gave, and I'll say this, it's, nobody told RJ City, so there's your hint.
And if nobody told RJ City, he's the one running the improv class.
Yeah.
Man. Chaos. Chaos. Yeah. After this match, we do get Gates of Agony with Brian Cage versus Evan Rivers and the Varos Twins. I literally wrote squish.
That's
literally wrote squish. And then we got, oh, look, a win for the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage. It's really about the post-match. Tony Schiavone gets into the ring and says, hey, guys, why did you turn your back on Swerve? He was your guy. What happened? And to be fair, the answer Brian Cage gave was very real. Bro, you got yourself to the top. You and Nana ditched us. And then you guys, you use us when you need backup. We are not disposable. We want to be on there, too. So, of course, we jumped him. Of course, we did. Heck, Christian Cage, we needed real guidance from the EVPs. And I mean, from the Gates of Agony and Christian, not Christian, Brian Cage's standpoint, you guys are hired goons. So why not be a hired goon to the Kingpin or right below the Kingpin to then some guy who's going to just use me to take the pin, take the shot for him. You know what I mean? What did you think of this promo? Because I agreed with everything he said before we move on to the second part of this promo.
Yeah, I thought it was really good how he explained it. I think that's what mattered the most, because you had to make him look good because you needed it to make sense. And I knew going into it, that's how they had to do it. And I was, when he said he wasn't coming alone next week, I was worried about that because I was like, if it's just going to be those guys, that's not going to really help him at all. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where I'm like, they have to turn heel on him because it doesn't really work anyways. Cause you can't have three faces or three heels with a face because Swerve's a face and it's just not working. So they had to do something. This was the way to go. So I think it worked. And they made it make sense on why they did it. So But and then you made a good point too. Like they were hired hands, so I mean that was the one thing too that I was kind of like, hey, I mean, if you go where the money is, that's at least make it sound that way. And they kind of did, I think. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I completely agree with what Brian Cage said. You only use us when you needed us. And once you guys got to the top, we weren't invited to no celebrations. It was only you and Nana, which leads us to Swerve coming out and clearing house. He hangs Khan with a chain. Toa Leoa runs through Swerve. Now, he takes out Brian Cage first, and Brian Cage is Dano snapped away. He's gone. Swerve looks directly at Brian Cage, and Brian Cage, I'm not going down there. You got me clipped. Swerve has a chair, Toa's face, and his head, boot, underneath his head between the steel chairs, and he takes the steel steps and takes the chill chair, and bang, gives him the ye old concerto on the ye old steps. Now,
ye old steps, so, yep.
If I am Khan, I'm looking at Brian Cage, not helping my brother get his butt beat. It's 2v1. You're fake. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming out with you next week, Brian Cage. And that's the problem about honor among thieves. There's no honor. There's no honor. Right. Honor no more.
Yeah. If they really want to impress me, they'll bring these guys back. Not, and I'm kidding here. At least one of them should come back. And I'm not. I'll let you predict which one I'm talking about that should come back.
Honestly, I want none of them to come back. I want none of them. Honestly, the funniest thing from Rick Ross was false allegations, but he talked over everyone that entire segment. Yeah,
that's like, a good point, too.
Shut up, Rick Ross. Like, I'm down for... I love it when wrestlers and rappers integrate. It's great. But also, to quote the great one, know your role and shut your mouth. No one that's to talk. True. Yeah, it's a dance, not just a. It's a dance. It's a dance.
And before anybody gets confused, I was talking about Rick Ross myself. I don't want the other two there either. So,
listen, I know everyone was talking about Rick Ross, and it's like, listen, I don't mind Rick Ross being there, but again, outside of false accusations, he talked over everybody in every segment, and it was hard to get a word in edgewise, and like. I just think he needs to have, you know, someone needs to sit him down, like, hey, pal, wait till it's your turn to talk. You know, no shade. I think he's a great addition. Look, even Snoop Dogg did it. So, you know what? It happens. You know, just sit on the learning tree of Chris Jericho.
As Sean said, Snoop Dogg saved WrestleMania last year. So
say what you want, but that is an actual fact. When his quads, when Shane's quads exploded, Snoop called an audible. And if Snoop didn't call the audible, we all would have been standing there like, some say he would still be standing there to this day.
Him and that referee, man, that MVPs of that show. Because Jessica Carr, I believe, was the referee, and she's like telling him to do something. He just,
you got to do something. You better do the song. You better rap.
Yeah.
We go to
murder.
Commercial.
Murder was the case.
Yeah, murder on a dance floor. His quads are on the dance floor. Let me stop cooking Shane McMahon. He's been through enough.
Yeah.
They go to commercial. We come back, and Swerve is backstage with a promo. He pretty much says, next week, it's me and you, Brian Cage. And he also tells, which I think is such a great mom line, Gates of Agony, Mogul Embassies, I brought you into this world, and I just took you out. And Brian Cage, I'm going to take you out next week. I was like, oh, I've heard that threat from my mother so many times.
Yep, I've been there. So I don't exactly
have any other notes on that. Do you have any other notes?
No, it was, no, I mean, the biggest thing was, is I liked how he was pissed, because I think that was the way to go. Like, he's not done. Like, he knows he has to... He knows he has business to deal with, but he still wants to take care of Brian Cage, even though he has to take care of Christian Cage. And who knows, Johnny Cage is probably after that. And then what other cages? Nicolas Cage, I'm sure. And then
Cage versus Brian Cage versus
Adam Page versus Hangman Page versus in a steel cage. Somebody has the gift. Somebody made the gift of me. I will post it. I will send Ethan Page versus Adam Page versus Christian Cage versus Hangman Page in a steel cage on Rampage. God damn it, say that five times fast.
Yeah. And have Jim Ross just in the show saying, good night, everyone. Thank you for watching Raw. You know,
thank you for watching Raw at the Anarchy in the Arena.
Hell in a Cell. Yeah.
Honestly, not too much on Jim Ross. We love Jim
Ross. I love Jim Ross. That's why, that's the thing. It was just, you're confusing everybody. You confuse me too. So
you confuse me all the time, Granddad. After that, we go straight into Daniel Garcia versus KM. That's how they introduced him. But for the first 5 minutes of this match, I just kept saying Kevin Matthews. So I'm like, I hope you don't get copyright struck for that, sir. I don't know if someone owns that or if you were trying to not expose the business, but commentary did you no favors. This was a squash. Daddy Magic was on commentary. And honestly, I'm happy for Daniel Garcia that he's at the point where he gets squash matches now, where he don't really got to try.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but somebody tried to, I guess, attack him. I didn't catch it right away, but people in the chat said it too. So I was, maybe somebody else can say what happened, because I was covering it for Fightful, so I didn't get to read everything else that happened. So, but I know from what I understand, people said that he attempted to get, or somebody attempted to attack him, and he even made a comment that, he made a comment regarding Drake just a few minutes ago, like Drake's people or something like that. I don't know. Somebody probably do a lot.
Daniel Garcia?
I guess so. Somebody in chat can help us out with that, please. Because I haven't had the chance to look into it.
Wrestling fans, what not to do. 101.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest. And I'll say this. I said it on my show the other day. People were bitching and moaning about Edmonton. It wasn't Edmonton. It was an individual who, a horrible person did that, not Edmonton. You know, that's the thing. Whoever did this, it's not Vancouver. It's whatever idiot. So, because I said it the other day, I was at that show in Minneapolis when the day the Vince McMahon allegations came out and people were going like this. This jackass was not doing that to Vince McMahon. So, you know, that's the thing. It's
people are nuts. That's crazy. I mean, listen, I get it. A fan jumped in the ring after the match. Listen, I get it. It can be exhilarating to go to shows and want to be a part of the match and want to be a part of the action. There's a path for that. You know, WWE has Next in Line. There are indie shows that you can go and try out. There's gymnastics. You can send in videos and tapes to your favorite or local indie promotion. There are things you can do to become a professional wrestler. What not to do is get drunk, tell your friends, watch, bro, and then go jump in the ring. Because what do you think is going to happen? They're going to be like, wow, you're so cool. You think they're going to sign you? Yeah. You think Tony Khan's going to come down with his neck brace like, wow, you're so brave and you're so cool. Let me sign you to a 5-year contract. Never in the history of ever has that ever happened. So please, do yourself a favor. Save yourself the embarrassment and save yourself the lifetime ban. There are other ways to become a professional wrestler, like going to the gym, going to your local indie promotion, taking a class. There are so many. The House of Glory has classes. Jumping in the ring over the guardrail during a show, during a taping, is not the way to do it. That was my TED Talk. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for attending my TED Talk. Yeah. Sign up for my master class next. So,
Masterclass, how not to get punched in the face by Crest the Star. Yeah. It's one lesson. Don't be an asshole. Yeah. After that, we did get Dax Harwood versus Tommy Billington, who is the real-life cousin of Dynamite Kid, and has taken up the moniker. Now, I'd never seen this man wrestle, didn't know him from a can of paint. And I will not lie, the beginning of this match, to me, was boring. And I feel like the crowd felt the same way because it was a library. I guess whatever happened during Pitcher in Pitcher, pardon me, changed everything, because when they came back from picture in picture, the crowd was turned up. I was fired up. They were chopping each other. Dynamite's kid's chest looked like raw hamburger meat. This was great. What a good match. Towards the end, we do get a big elbow on Dax, but only for two. They did two suplexes from Dax, which was switched into two suplexes from Tommy Billington, which was then reversed into a into a forearm, if I'm not mistaken. And then we got a slingshot powerbomb for the win. My only complaint was that the finisher was kind of anticlimactic. However, I will say the beginning of that match also was anticlimactic. So it made sense if it was a sandwich. But the match itself was good. I'm glad that they gave this man his flowers and they cheered him afterwards, because the match itself was superb. And maybe it was the camera angles. Maybe I was missing something. Maybe I had to be there. What did you think of this match, Rob?
I enjoyed it. You know, like I really did. I think part of it is because I grew up watching those guys. I grew up being a tape trader. So I watched a lot of the British Bulldogs and watched a lot of Calgary Stampede. So I knew who his uncle was. Davey Boy was one of my favorite wrestlers and Dynamite Kid. I had the old Coliseum video, the best of the British Bulldogs. So it was pretty cool for me to see this. And I thought Dax was the perfect person, because I know deep down, like, this was something that Dax, I guaranteed, asked for. Like, I guaranteed he's like, hey, can I wrestle this kid? Like, this is like something for him, because we know he's huge into the tag team wrestling aspect, the Hart Foundation, stuff like that. And it was cool for me, like, more than anything. It was just one of those things where I was excited to see what he could do. I've watched him in MLW have a couple of matches. He teamed with his cousin. I think they're still, I would assume they're related, David Hart Smith. So they teamed at an MLW show once or twice. So I've watched him a couple times before. And I know he's done a lot of indie work in Canada, but I haven't been able to watch it. But I know from what I saw before, and going into this match, I knew they were going to have a killer match. Plus, the other thing is, if you can't have a good match with Dax, the issue is you. And I knew that he would be fine. And this was a good match. It was fun. And I see potential in this guy. I really do. And I hope, I'm trying to think of the right word, but I hope we see him again soon. You know, they do have another tour they're going to be doing in July, I think, AEW in Canada. So I hope we see him some more, if he doesn't have like a, if it's possible. So we'll see. But I enjoyed the match. I know what you said. It did kind of start quiet, but it did pick up. You're right. And by the end of it, I was like, damn, you know, they were selling me a bill of goods where I could actually see this happen in a way, but again, it came down to, hey, this guy's going to be in your biggest match. You can't have him go down and lose to this unknown, per se, you know. So it was a fun match. I enjoyed it.
I will say that it is a safe bet that we will see this young man, Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington, again. And if you want to make a smart, educated bet, take a word from our sponsors, Bet Online.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just called me on my phone, but we're back. Bet online. Bet responsibly. Don't be on your phone at work.
Oh, I'm guilty all the time, so you're fine. It's all good.
Don't be on your phone at work. Speaking of people not on their phones at work, we do get a video recap of the Elite cutting a promo. We have Okada saying, "Pack next week, me and you in the ring." And then he walks off. Jack Perry says, "You know, I'm tired of this. Screw you guys." Some other rumbly homeless man looking stuff. And then he leaves. He does look a little scruffy. And I'm here for the homeless look. I'm here for it. Then Christopher Daniels, minding his own damn business, walks by. And Matthew and Nicholas say, "Hey, it's this guy. How dare you try to keep the peace, guy? How dare you?" Yeah. And Christopher Daniels says, "You know what? I've had it. You will not talk to me this way. You are the worst." So it ends that way. And Matthew and Nicholas like, "Hey, get a load of this guy." We go to commercial. We come back. Christopher Daniels like, "So let me get this straight. So I tell you, you can't talk to me this way, and now I got to fight you in the ring. That's fine. I'm getting Matt Sydal," which is crazy because he just talked about SCU in the segment beforehand. So I know Frankie Kazarian ain't there no more because he's in TNA. Scorpio Sky was busy.
Well, Scorpio Sky just had a damn vignette on Rampage, too.
Okay, so my statement still stands.
Yeah.
Scorpio Sky was busy?
Yeah, well.
No shade. You just said SCU. I like Matt Sydal. I think he's great, but like.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, come on. This is your opportunity. Maybe this is the opportunity to bring like those two back together. Maybe that's how they're going to do it. Like Young Bucks are kicking their ass, and then all of a sudden you get Scorpio back out there saying, "Nope. I messed up once. I'm not turning my back on Christopher again. Here, let's get the band back together. Because we know there's a lot of drama in the LBC, and we can't have that anymore." So that's exactly what's going on.
Drama in the LBC. I'm sick of you, Rob.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So there you go.
I'm sorry. The moment I unmuted, someone in their little $2 car with a $2 horn decided to let everyone know that I'm outside. And you see my beautiful horn? You see my beautiful house? How dare you have a $2 horn outside of my beautiful home? We then get the FTR response to the Elite, where Okada, I thought he said Pack, but it turned out he said Dax. So we're getting Okada versus Dax Harwood, which honestly, for free, on TV? Well, I mean, we got Will Ospreay for free versus Lee Moriarty. So that was that for free. We eat good wrestling fit.
We are. Well, hell, we got, I mean, I know this is AEW show, but we are eating good. We got Randy Orton and AJ Styles last night, you know, so it's just, damn, you know, let's go. Plus, Okada got a little hint of what his chest is going to look like on Wednesday night. So there you go. That's a free preview for him. So
come on now. Like, there's going to be Elite shenanigans. I already know that. But the fact that we are getting Dax Harwood versus Kazuchika Okada again on television on Wednesday, these wrestling companies is hooping right now. AJ Styles and Daniel and Randy Orton on the same team. We trying to outbook each other. That's fine. Y'all could be mad at each other all you want. There's a gif of the New Day in the front row doing this. And that's me right now. Keep it up. Yeah. Keep it up. Oh. I like that.
And then I see that we're getting Danielson and Moxley versus Jeff Cobb and Kyle Fletcher, too.
Keep it up. Yeah. Keep it up. If you guys hate each other so much that you're booking like this, me and Rob in the front row, keep it up.
Yeah,
keep
you're doing that. Up. I'm Mama Clumping over here. Just Hercules.
I am not mad. If y'all got beef, have beef forever, because this is some fine professional wrestling. And pay your workers. Just make sure you pay your workers.
Yeah.
Now we get Thunder Rosa versus Robin Renegade. I want to open this one up. I got to go up on my apologies. I got to get to Mr. Burt Wayne saying Robin kicked ass. And I got to say, commentary put over that this is Robin Renegade's third year in AEW. Her first match, I believe they said, was against Thunder Rosa. And honestly, the improvement. Robin Renegade looked phenomenal here. That being said, it's Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa is a tall order. There are a few women in professional wrestling, period, that is a tall order. And she's one of them. She's one of them. She may be small in height, but that is not a woman you could just walk over. Her gear, fantastic. That headpiece, ah, we are not worthy, Thunder Rosa. Why? It's crazy how the very first sin was a woman who ate and you devoured it. You left us. That headpiece was amazing. This match was really good. I am very happy for Robin Renegade. I think she looked amazing, but I have no notes because I also wrote squish squash. That shotgun drop kick to Thunder Rosa, I mean to Robin Renegade, there's no way you could not pay me to take that. Like, I saw the video of Denise taking chops on Thunder Rosa. I would have gave Thunder Rosa $100. Say, yo, pull your punches. Like, that was like hurt. The Miss Moonsault is really where Robin Renegade had her mishap. And Thunder Rosa wins with a Cobra Clutch submission. Okay, Thunder Rosa. Afterwards, she does her usual. I'm looking in the camera. It's like, I make everyone better. Look at how good she got because of me. I'm coming for you. I don't care who you are. And then she said a lot of bad words in Spanish that I won't repeat. What did you think about this, Rob?
Well, you know, anytime Thunder Rosa is on my TV, I'm excited. And Robin Renegade has improved a lot in the time that we've been able to see her wrestle in these few years. And that's good. I mean, that's really good. And I hope we get to continue to see what she does, because she has a look where it's very intriguing to see what she does. And she doesn't really necessarily remind me of anybody, and that's a good thing because she's her own person. And so I want to see what else they can do with her. I know she doesn't have a full-time deal, so I'm let her continue to do like indies and stuff like that and see where it goes, because I think she's definitely I definitely can see her getting more work like within AEW indies, and that could lead to other things. So, but it was a fine match and it went exactly as I expected. And the Cobra Clutch was a good way to get the victory. And it made me think about other Cobra Clutches that we've seen in wrestling history. So,
yeah, this was a good Cobra Clutch. And again, this is not something, in my opinion, that I've seen from Thunder Rosa regularly. So this was like, okay, I see that you're saying, listen, Deonna, you want to go hold for hold. I got holds too, honey. And I'm a stiff striker just like you. I got to tell you, that match is going to be
so good.
Yep. We have a promo with Taya and Johnny. Johnny says he wants to fight the Bastard Pack. And then they start making out in front of poor Lexi Nair. And I know it's probably meant to be like whatever. But Taya says, you just gonna stay there and watch? And then she's with the, if you want, girl. And it's not like, I'm like, you guys.
it's a program. Yeah, I guess what happens in Vancouver stays in Vancouver, but not necessarily, huh? But yeah, it was something. It was, I thought, I always get a kick out of those two. Like, I do. Johnny TV, Johnny Nitro, Johnny everything. Johnny Mundo. I just always gotten a kick out of him, like when he does his comedy stuff. And I think those two are great together. And I actually, I do wish we get to see him more, you know, I really do. Cause I think what they do is great. But if you're going to challenge one person, why would you challenge him? You know, there's a lot of other people I'd want to challenge before I challenge the Bastard. So, but
your britches get a little too big, and yeah, some of that people put a battery in your back. And I'm not saying Johnny Mundo is a bad wrestler. Starship Pain is a great finishing move. But we call him the Bastard Pack for a reason. He's a bastard. He's got no love, man. He hates everybody. He hates everybody. But you know who doesn't hate us? Ricardo, little stinger since 88, at work, just popping in. Love you, too. Love you, too, dogs. Thanks, dogs. It's very kind of you. Guys, send us in your super chats and your humper chats. Lewis will make sure we read all of them live on air. Join in the conversation. Tell us what you thought about wrestling this evening. And we'll tell you what we think about your comment, whether you want to us to tell you or not. We then get a hook promo. I'm hoping you got notes because I couldn't tell you what happened in that promo besides he was sitting on the corner in New York City. Oh, and Learning Tree.
Yeah, he was basically just saying, I'll give you the gist of it. He's basically saying, Jericho, you jackass, you don't know what you got yourself into now, and I'm going to get back my FTW title, if that's what I took out of it. And I also took out of it that, man, it's really quiet where he's at in New York. I assume that's where he was at. So, but that was pretty much it. He's just really calm, and you don't see that like much out of New Yorkers, and that's what's scary about Hook. So, but
I'm gonna be real with you, and this is just me, and maybe I could be wrong, and I'm open to positive critique. But I think Hook needs a mouthpiece. I think Hook, the way he wrestles in the ring versus how he talks, even with the Quiet Storm thing, I'm not buying it. Does that make any sense? Like, I think he needs, even if Taz spoke for him, I think he still needs a few more minutes to work on his, I don't know, like, in the ring, you're a menace. I don't want it with you at all. The Shinakuma, the tattoo you got on your chest is very apropos. But when you talk, I'm like, yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Yeah. You know, the thing is he's somebody that I didn't really think needed to talk. I liked how they just didn't let him do it. I think it was better when he didn't because it added more mystery to him. And I think mystery is good when it comes to wrestling. And if you were to do something now, I don't know who they'd go with because, I mean, Taz would obviously be option, probably be the best option. And don't get me wrong, Taz can talk. I see somebody in chat, Threwmonger says Don Callis maybe. Well, that's the thing. Don Callis, he can talk, but the problem is he has that what I call turn the channel heat because he does his job so damn well.
Yeah.
That you don't want to listen to him. And that's.
And he's got a lot going on right now.
Yeah. And I don't know what the hell they're doing with Orange Cassidy. That's just off topic right there. But I mean, they're making that interesting too. But Hook, I think the best thing now for him to do. It's just beat the holy hell out of Chris Jericho and Big Bill. But I know they're not going to do that. They're not going to let him beat the hell out of Big Bill. So I don't know where they're going with this. But I am intrigued. And there was a part of me that really was wondering, are they trying to like do something with Taz? Like part of me just kind of wondered if he just had like this one last match type idea. Like, and I'm not saying that's the case. That's what I was wondering. Like, what are they getting him back in the ring for? But he never really did anything physical. So that went out the window really, really quick with me. But I'm very, very curious to see what they do with this because I think we're obviously getting Hook versus Jericho at Double or Nothing. And it wouldn't surprise me if this actually turns into a tag match of somewhat. I'm not saying it's going to be Ricky Starks and Hook versus Big Bill and Jericho. Because that, I don't know what's going on with Ricky Starks at all. But I just don't see that happening either. But they got to do something. And it's obviously going to happen at Double or Nothing where it adds into it or who gets added into it is very intriguing. So it's all I know, and this is a long way of saying it, is Hook's going to beat that ass. That's what's going to happen.
That's what's got to happen at this point. And for reasons not in kayfabe, I think right now Jericho has a lot of go-away heat. And if you make Jericho beat Hook, it's going to piss off the fans. Like, there's no nice way to say that. You're going to piss off the fans. So, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. To me, the only outcome is that either you screw him with Big Bill or you have Cook beat them both clean. I think that's the right call, but we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, we are heading down the home stretch. We are at our last match. So get your super chats in. Head over to humperchats.com. Leave a thumbs up on the channel. Don't forget to subscribe to Fightful Select. The best $5 in the business. Like I said, there's Becky Lynch contract updates in there. We got Cody Rhodes updates in there. Sean Ross Sapp Q&A. $5. Fightful Select. As we get into the Cope Open in Kyle O'Reilly's hometown of Woodburn, Canada, Toronto?
No, they're in Vancouver.
Vancouver, hey, home of the Vancouver Canucks, I think that's what they're called. Yep. I am not a sports fan, so I apologize to those I may or may not have offended.
That's okay.
This match.
It's the Canucks. It's okay.
I don't even know what a Canuck is. I'm not going to hold you.
You're fine.
Okay, work. He said you're fine. Work. Ladies and gentlemen, this match was Catch Me If You Can Wrestling. This was submission, and I hate to agree with Nigel McGuinness, but Adam Copeland survived this match, in my opinion. Kyle O'Reilly, every time Adam Copeland tried to do anything, Kyle O'Reilly literally called him with, oh, that's a stretching. This man's arm at one point, I'm like, the human arm should not be all the way back here. Kyle O'Reilly literally had Adam Copeland out here looking like Bendy Wendy. Like, it was bad. There was one time that towards the end, Adam Copeland hits Kyle O'Reilly with a spear, and Kyle O'Reilly catches his neck and hits him with a deep guillotine. I'm like, yo, you're gonna break that man's neck, and you know his neck is a stack of dimes. Stop. This match was so good. Please watch this match. There were so many submissions in this match that I couldn't. There was an arm bar in the middle of the match that Adam Copeland literally had to roll over to try to get this man to release for Kyle O'Reilly to just end up trying to turn it almost into a triangle choke. This man says, I got a hold for everything. Perry Saturn was looking at him with a single tear. Like, that's my boy. Like, it was so good. In this match, if you are a submission fanatic, if you are someone who likes technical wrestling, boy, oh boy, have I got a match for you. But it was a one-sided set because Adam Copeland, he did what he was supposed to do. But Kyle O'Reilly literally was like, oh, you missed. That's a stretching. Oh, yeah, that's a stretching. Gotcha. Oh, Taffy, that's a stretching. What did you think, Rob, of this match?
Oh, I love this match. It was really good. And it's exactly like you said. If you're a fan of submission style wrestling, technical wrestling, this was a knockout like match for you. This was killer. I enjoyed everything about it. Adam Copeland, I can't help but call him Edge. Adam Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly going into this, I knew they wanted to put on a banger. I automatically was going to root for Adam Copeland once I saw the Calgary Hitmen on his pants, on his tights, rather. So I was like, well, if you have Bret the Hitman Hart stuff related to you on, you automatically win in my book. So that's all that mattered. So the match was good. My thing was I wanted them to make Kyle O'Reilly look good. Like, that was the biggest thing. And they succeeded. They succeeded really well with that. He was a star. The crowd was behind him. The crowd wanted him to win, even though that Copeland is the mega facer.
They were booing the crap out of Adam. Yeah. That was crazy.
I mean, that's the thing about the home the home crowd thing. You know, they're always going to root for their guy. Like, that was the same with, that's the way it should be. Like, the home guy, hometown crowd guy should always be, like, favored. Like, always should have the crowd behind them. They do it well in AEW. WWE's finally started doing it now since somebody left.
Businessman.
Yeah, and I mean, we got to see it a little bit with Chad Gable a few months ago, and you know, they bring it up now that so-and-so's from here, and we get to see that, so that's a good thing, and it adds more emotion into the match, and you start kind of rooting for that person, even if you not necessarily wanted him to win. Like, I mean, deep down, I knew that he wasn't going to win, but I would have been okay with it. I mean,
yeah, in that moment, I would have been like, that kind of sucks for you. You just got it, but come on, Kyle O'Reilly. Yay!
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this is a guy that who's gone through a lot of hell in the past couple of years. And this was the first time that he's gotten to wrestle at home in Vancouver since 2019. The last time he wrestled there was in an NXT house show. He teamed with Roderick Strong, I believe, or no, Bobby Fish, of course, Bobby Fish, the guy that founded Vancouver, by the way.
he sailed the ocean blue with Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, well, he's actually the one that showed Lewis and Clark where to go. Like, he's like, yeah, just keep going this way.
He actually was like, hey, Vikings, if you go over there, this actually kind of cold.
Oh God, you know, these jokes always are great. But
I love,
you know, that's the thing.
Fish, but he's a
tough. Oh, I do too. Oh, I do too. I love it. Yeah. See, where's the lie? Exactly. But yeah, you know, it was good, and the match went exactly as I figured it would. I think we all figured it would go that way. It was killer. You know, they made Kyle look good. He wore those Vancouver Canuck colors, which is unfortunate because I'm a hockey fan. I don't care for that team. Anyways, good match. Afterwards, it kind of got weird. We saw like blood kind of like pop out of Copeland. I didn't really get that. And then while we were doing our show, it turns out that we were getting a barbed wire steel cage match at Double or Nothing between Malakai Black and Copeland.
Middle one, I see that. Yikes. Listen. Somebody hear my cry. If you're rich, send all of Fightful to Double or Nothing, especially Crest of Star. I listen to you. If you want to pay for me, Rob, especially me and Kate and Denise, we deserve it. The young ladies deserve it. Send us to Double or Nothing, okay? But until then, you know, all I got is I don't want to see that. That's going to be a lot of blood. I'm soft, and this is going to be me the whole time. Because listen, We stand. This is a House of Black where we honor the House of Black in here. But I'm already not looking forward to it. Yuck.
Yeah. It, you know, there was a headline on Fightful today that Adam Copeland said, if you see me involved in something stupid, it's probably was my idea. So there you go. So
I've seen enough Malakai Black, and at this point, with that quote, and enough Adam Copeland to see that this is stupid. Yes, this is stupid. Do you want to do it? Yup.
Yeah. 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 That's one thing about wrestlers that I love is like, this is a really bad idea. It is. We should do it. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's.
There's only one wrestler that I've heard nothing but good things about where people are like, yo, that's impossible. And the wrestler is Speedball Mike Bailey. Everyone I've spoken to about Speedball is just like, you could be like, yo, if I do this and this, and then Speedball be like, that's great. But what if you added a 450 splash into a stomp? Nobody could do that, Speedball. It's easy. Then he does it. They look at him like, this, that's a good one. Write that down. Write that down. Write that down. God damn it, Speedball. Why? Why? Yeah. And then he puts on some bangers, though. So you go listen. You go to listen. And he does it safely, too. And so he's like, you're thinking, like, wow, this man really died. And Speedball's like, and you're going to float down like Jesus. I love wrestling, man. Professional wrestling is a gift.
I do, too.
And that's our gift to you guys. That's the show. That was Collision from May 11th, 2024. Overall thoughts, it was a good setup. The wrestling was fine, but everything was, to me, it was just a setup show. What did you think about it, Rob?
Oh, it was it was a setup show. I thought it was a good setup show. It was nobody from the Elite were there. You know, we know that Jack Perry was at New Japan Resurgence, so that was going on. So you got that. Plus the Young Bucks are doing the Young Buck type things, whoever, whatever the hell that means. But, you know, it's okay. We got 2 weeks until Double or Nothing, so that's going to be fun. It's just, here we go. You know, it was a good setup show. We'll see what goes on next week. They're in Everett, Washington. Washington crowds always bring it. This was a good Vancouver crowd, too, I think. They did really well numbers-wise, too, which is good. So, yeah, overall, it was a good show. And that's what matters. And we said it earlier, wrestling's just kicking on all cylinders right now, and we just want that to continue.
Wrestling, I agree. Tonight was a good setup show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm glad that you guys, all of you who came here for us, me and Rob. And speaking of Rob, where can the people find you online, Rob, if they want to be your social media friend, parasocial relationship and all that?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, or as we call it on my show, Coexisting, you can follow me on Twix at Rob Wilkins. Otherwise, I'm on Instagram at Fightful Rob. I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. Every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, you can catch me on Fightful Overbooked for Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We have a good old time. We just talk nonsense. We tried not to get in trouble. I mean, I professed my love last week to Miss Parker from Friday. So you got that. I'm still in love with that woman. So there's that. I give definitions to my Bulgarian co-host from Urban Dictionary. You get to see her reaction. So that's always fun. So, and we haven't been kicked off yet. So we're having a good time, and there you go. But yeah, catch us out. It's awesome. We have a good time. Hour and a half every week. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cresta Star. You can find me every Thursday and Saturday. We did that one already.
Oh, sorry, I accidentally clicked on it. That's my fault. It's my first day.
You're messing. I'm like, hey, I got it. I'm on my job. Lewis does not let us forget. Shout outs to our lovely mod, Lewis. He does not let us forget. Lewis is make sure we're on our job. My name is Cresta. You can find me every Thursday and Saturday here on Fightful. Thursdays, I talk about TNA wrestling with our lovely Joel Pearl. And on Saturdays, it's typically myself, Ridian, and Rick, or any cast of characters. Saturday is kind of like a hodgepodge because we just be doing stuff over here. Besides that, you can find me over on Twitter, X, Twix, at Cresta V Star, like Megan V Stallion, the girl that just did wah, wah, wah. Yes, the same girl. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it. If you liked this video, give us a thumbs up. If you really liked us, go ahead and give us a subscribe over on Fightful Select. We've got a Patreon that gives you the best $5. The news and the business are going to aggregate us anyway, baby. So you might as well get it from the source. And that's going to be it for us this evening. Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm going to steal Joe Pearl's ending. Friends, folks, and those beyond the binary, we love you. Have a good night. Wrestle on and wrestle strong. I made that up. Neck health. Goodbye. Neck health.
Bye. Peace.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.